You may be seated. You are seated. Take out your notes, if you would, and turn them over to the back. We're going to be talking this morning about praying at all times in the name of Jesus. And that's what that song was all about, and that's why we had that just before our sermon this morning. It's a beautiful name. It's a wonderful name. It's a powerful name. And we need to remember that in our prayer lives, that God is good, God is strong, God is powerful. His name is beautiful. There are many people, as we're going to be talking this morning, about prayer in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. Let's read that before we go to the Lord. It comes at the end of what we've been talking about with the armor of God. It says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming to you through the powerful name of your Son. It is a good name. It's a powerful name. It's a wonderful name. It's a beautiful name. And Lord, I pray that prayer would just be an everyday part of our lives. Lord, help us to be willing to learn today. We might be sitting here thinking, I know about prayer. I know what he's going to say. He's going to tell me I'm not praying enough. I'm not at prayer meeting. And that's true. But Lord, I want you to speak to him. Not hear my words, but hear yours. And I pray, Lord, that your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. There are some who look at the armor of God of just having six pieces. We've gone through them over the last few weeks. We started with the belt of truth, and into that was tucked the breastplate of righteousness. You were to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You were to put on the helmet of salvation, take up the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit. There are people who believe that those are the six. As a matter of fact, if you were to Google the armor of God, they will list those six pieces. So not many people put prayer into the armor of God. I happen to believe it's the most important piece of the armor of God. Some people say, well, Paul kind of threw this on as an afterthought or in addition to. I believe that prayer really is the backbone that holds all of the armor pieces together. So as we come to this, again, you can find theologians who say there's six pieces. You're going to find others who will include prayer. I happen to be with the group that puts prayer in, okay? And I think you'll agree with me as we talk about prayer, as we discuss what is really essential to us and what we avail ourselves or should avail ourselves to. I think you'll agree that it really should be part of the armor of God. Perhaps you've seen or heard some of these funny prayer things. Maybe you've been in a Sunday school room. I've worked with little children. Some, I always prefer older kids and college kids in my ministry. But I've been in Sunday school or junior church enough to have heard some of these. But these are ones that I found in an illustration book. It said, "Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy." I could have related to that as an older brother. I wanted some animals rather than my two older sisters. "Dear God, when my mom makes leftovers, do I have to pray for that food again?" That's a good question. "Dear God, could you please make Mikey, could you please send Mikey Johnson to another summer camp this year? He always picks on me." That's a kid's honesty. And I like this one. "Dear God, I went to this wedding yesterday and they were kissing right there in church. Is that okay?" So those are kids' prayers. They were just not sure exactly how to talk to God, probably, but they were telling God what was on their mind. Let me tell you, if you ever teach kids, and a child in your Sunday school class says, "Would you pray for my sick puppy or my sick cat?" That's a prayer request to a kid. I've known adults who say, "Well, we don't pray for that." No, we do. Those are prayer requests. That's a legitimate prayer request to a child. So please. And I know adults who would pray for that as well. Before we put our dog down, I remember just saying, "God, I know she's getting older, but we love her." And so that's a legitimate prayer request. Please don't ever make fun of a child's prayer requests, but those are just some funny ones. I thought about the baby brother and the puppy. I was once leading a large youth group meeting up in Corning, and we had a bunch of kids, and we always started off with food and games and stuff before we got into the Bible study, and we did that night, and we had a lot of fun. I had somebody who else was leading games. The kids were coming in, they were all hot and sweaty, and they had pizza or whatever we had that night, and as I got them in, I introduced what I was going to be speaking about from the Word of God, and one of the kids said something that just cracked me up, and I tried to laugh and thought I was done, and I started to pray, and it just came to the back of my mind. I just started laughing again in the middle of my prayer, and I stopped and said, I'm really sorry. Let me start this again. I tried it 3 or 4 times, and I just could not get it through. I just kept laughing. Cheryl's not here. She would probably remember that event, and I know at least 2 of my youth leaders, I think we probably had a dozen youth leaders there because it was a big group, and at least 1 or 2 of them were really getting mad at me. I could tell in the look in their eyes, you're a pastor. You know, grow up a little bit. Don't be sitting there laughing. And I tried to make light of it. And I finally asked one of the ones who was really, could tell was fresh. I said, Mark, would you please just lead us in prayer? I'm sorry. Would you just lead? So he prayed. And I did make, not light of it, but I did say, I said, you know, prayer is not something that's to be taken lightly. It's not something that we should be laughing about. But aren't you glad God gave us a sense of humor? And the kids kind of realized, hey, you know, Pastor Ron, you know, maybe he was wrong in laughing like that, but I did talk to the kids about, you know, prayer is work. It's not something to be taken lightly. It's not a game. And I apologized several times for laughing, but they realized, hey, you know, he's human. And but for someone to get upset about it, you know, I wouldn't have done that. But I'm here to talk to you about this morning that prayer is work. It does require work. And I hope you can make prayer a fun time. When you're having your family devotions, I remember my dad, when we'd have them every night after dinner, it wasn't a lecture. It wasn't something I dreaded to go to. We had a good time praying, and we would pray lighthearted prayers. We would pray for things that a kid at school might have been struggling with, and prayer time was never looked at, from my perspective, as just being something that I had to do. So if when you have family prayer time, please make it fun. Make it something that the kids will want to enjoy throughout their life, but also make them realize we are communicating to the Godhead, the creator of the universe, and prayer is essential on the battlefield that we're going to find ourselves in, or we find ourselves on. We're going to find ourselves in. We are on. We're in the spiritual warfare now. But those who do view prayer as part of the armor of God look at it as really being our second offensive weapon. The other one is the Word of God, the sword. And we take that up. We also, I believe, have prayer as our second offensive weapon. And Paul says here in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit. Do you realize that prayer is just a conversation with God? That's really all it is. Is you're talking to God the way you would with your spouse, or if you were teaching a class, just like you would. And when you misbehaved as a child, Carlene was saying the other night, she brought Nixon over Friday, and Nixon got sick in the middle of the night and wanted her mommy, right? She wanted her mommy. When kids get sick, they want their mommy. When I was wrong, when I misbehaved, I wanted my mom then too. I didn't want my dad. So kids, when they're wrong and they're acting up, they'd rather talk to their mom, who's tends to be the lenient one. I know some other families where that was different. The mother was the disciplinarian, and the father let them get away with everything. But when a kid goes against the rules, usually the last one they want to talk to is their father. But we need to understand, prayer is that we need God. As we mature in our walk, we come to understand that God has the only answer. And yeah, he knows that we've misbehaved. He knows that we've done something wrong. But we need to come to him in prayer and acknowledging that. And we need to understand that the world's not going to have the answer for me. My friends are not going to have the answer for me. Books and psychology are not going to have the answer for me. When I need anything, I come to the Lord in prayer. So we have this in your notes now. Number 1, prayer is dependence on God's strength. That's really what it is. And we've probably heard, if you've been a Christian long enough, you've probably heard of foxhole prayers. My cousin was in the military, was in Vietnam, and he would talk about, and he wasn't a Christian, but he would talk about hearing guys crying, big guys crying as missiles are flying over the head. He was in the jungles of Vietnam. And Fred, he might have offered up some foxhole prayers because he did come near close to losing his life several occasions, but he never trusted Christ as a Savior. But these are prayers when someone is at the end of their ropes. They feel as though the danger is closing in on them, the situation in life is closing in on them, and they realize they have nothing left to turn to other than God, and they cry out to God in desperation. And I've thought of that. I still remember Fred talking about that when he came home from Vietnam, talking about these prayers. And I remember as I've thought about that over the years, as I've matured, I thought, what a shame it is for us to have to come to the end of our own inability to discover God's ability. God will sometimes take us to the very end of our ropes and cause us to turn to Him. But it's a shame that we have to go through that, isn't it? It's a shame that we have to be brought to the end before we look up finally to the Lord. But Paul's here and he says, pray at all times. And he's not saying, when he talks about that, he's not saying, come up with a grocery list of wants and needs and then just present it to God all as a list. He's not saying that. Bring it all at one time and just tell God, here's my list, please fill it. You know, bless my family, bless my kids, bless my children, bless my parents, bless my job, bless me financially, bless those who are sick. God wants us to be specific, and when he says pray at all times, we need to do that. And again, when we pray, we are laying hold of God. That's an amazing thing to think of. When I bow my head in prayer, I'm just coming to God's throne room. We don't see it, and we can't really imagine it, but anytime I come to God through the name of Christ, I'm entering into the very throne room of God, and God is listening to me. It doesn't matter if 10 million people around the world are praying at the same time. God hears Ron Hagee. God hears Larry Van Ness. God hears Martin Morgan. If we all prayed at the same time, God hears us. And that's the exciting thing. When he talks about praying at all times, he doesn't mean a sequence of prayer. He's just talking about specific prayer. Get specific. We talked about this back in chapter 5, verse 16. When we pray, we are taking hold of God, but it is redeeming the time. Or I think we talked about making the best use of your time back in 5:16. Making the best use of your time because the days are evil. The King James said redeeming the time. That's what prayer is. That's making the best use of your time. It's coming before the Lord. It's coming with his untapped strength because all I have is weakness. And I can come to this God of unimaginable power. What a powerful name. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. I can come to this powerful name anytime in my weakness and say, God, I need your strength. And that's what prayer is. We are depending on God's strength. Here's where I said, you might not like what I'm going to say. But it is not right for a pastor to have to stand up on a Sunday morning and beg people to be at prayer meeting. It is not right for pastors across our country to have to do that. My brother-in-law, who spoke here when we were in Myrtle Beach back in, I guess it was July, he wrote to me a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and just said he was praying for us when we met on our Thursday morning prayer time. He had people from his church wanted to pray with us. I have people down in the Lancaster area who pray every Thursday from 12:15 to 1 o'clock with us as we meet at the teen center. This past week it was just Carlene. We've had 4 and 5 there at a time. I am going to promote it for the beginning of the year. I'm going to get a hold of other churches. And I told Bonnie a couple weeks ago that I said, I didn't send it out to other churches because I didn't want pastors to think I'm trying to take their people away from them. And she goes, yeah, I know some pastors that might think that. So that's why I haven't promoted. I was just doing it on Facebook. But I am going to let churches know that we are going to have this prayer time specifically for our community and for our country. But my brother-in-law said, Ron, I'm praying for you every Thursday. But he sent me this part of a book. What's it called? I can't even think of it. Not a sequence, but part of a book that he was reading, and it hasn't even come out yet. He was sent it. It's written by Paul Miller. It's called A Praying Church. And I think it comes out in January or February of 2023. But excerpts, that's the word I was trying to think of. He sent me some excerpts of it. And this Paul Miller was grieving the lack of corporate prayer in America's churches. People might be praying on their own, but corporate prayer is when we come together at prayer meeting, come together as a body of Christ. And he says it is lacking, sadly, throughout our country. It's not just Draper Baptist, but it's lacking throughout our country. And he says it has such a tremendous negative impact on believers' lives. He said prayer, and I meant to put this on our graph here, on our PowerPoint, and I forgot to put this in. But he said prayer is the power train of the church. And he talks about, has a graph, and he says we come in prayer, and then that points to the Spirit of Christ. And we come through the Spirit. The Spirit leads us to Jesus, and then Jesus leads us to these things: power, life, and glory. When we begin praying, we go through the Spirit to the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray, and God blesses us with power, with abundant life, with glory. And then he says this: the power train transforms our prayer into usable power. Without the spark of prayer, the church quickly loses energy. Listen to this: doing what is only humanly possible. And we don't even know that we are powerless. I'm going to say that again. He says when we don't come together in corporate prayer, we are doing only what is humanly possible. When we don't pray, we're relying on our own strength. And folks, I do not want to have to beg you in newsletters and Sunday mornings and say, please come out to prayer. I have said this for 13 years now, that prayer meetings should be the biggest attended service of our church. And not once has it ever been. Not once have we had more than 6 or 7 people. Even if we're a church of 40 people, we should have that many coming to prayer meeting. You need to set time aside to pray corporately. And I can't keep begging you. All I can teach is what God's word says, that we need to be praying together. He reminds pastors in this book, and I wrote this down. He says, we have no writing on how to preach in the New Testament. He's telling pastors, there's no writing on how to preach a sermon in the New Testament, but he says there's multiple writings on how to pray as a church. Do you think God cares about my sermon? I think he does. I think he's concerned about how we communicate the Word of God and how that's going to impact lives. But he wants us to pray together. Prayer should be the most important part of our church. I love this closing. Well, it's not the closing, but it's the closing part of what he sent me, my brother-in-law Dale. The sermon in the early church was the warm-up to the real meat of the service, which was corporate prayer followed by communion. He said when the early church gathered together, the message was part of the service, but that was leading to the main part, which was prayer and communion together. We're going to have communion here in a few moments. That's part of our meeting together. But I want to tell you, Satan wants to keep you home. Satan wants you to be comfortable staying at home. It's going to be cold in a few, well, Ron said it's supposed to be in the 20s on Thursday, which I love, by the way. I love the cold weather. But there's going to be people say, oh, it's too cold, or it's flurried some, and the roads might be a little dangerous, or driving out, that we've lost this hour of sleep. It's going to be dark now by 6 or 5, and just going out at night is going to be a pain. That is Satan telling you, stay comfortable. Stay where you are. Satan wants you rather to be home rather than being at the church where it's the backbone, it's the strength of the ministry. We're praying for 6 new families and 15 kids. We've been praying for that for just about a month now. That God would grow our church, that we would see people come to Christ, and not just transfers from other churches, but people come to Christ and see them being involved in ministry. But we need to be that in prayer, and we need to do it together. Why is corporate prayer so important? It's because it is really the backbone of the church, and it's been said since I was a kid, show me the church's prayer meeting, and I'll show you the strength of the church. I'll show you the church. And if people look at our prayer meeting, they're going to see 5 or 6 people, and that's not our church. It doesn't represent our church, and it shouldn't. Our church be represented. You folks, again, please don't make me beg because it should be coming from the Lord. It should be the Lord convicting you. Corporate prayer is dependence on God's strength, and we need to do it together. Number two, prayer is applying God's word. Finally, I'm glad he's off of that subject. I'm tired of him hitting me over the head. Well, I hope the Lord hits you over the head. But one of my favorite things to do in prayer, and I don't do it often enough, is to pray scripture back to God. And Paul kind of implies this when he says, opening my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. The gospel message is our message. And that's what we need to be taking out. Remember, folks, listen to this. God, and I don't know if I have it in your notes or not, but God is obligated to his word. When we pray God's word back to him, we are praying his word and saying, God, you're obligated to this. This is what you promised. This is what you told me. And God, I just want to bring it up to you. And I have this in your notes. I'm going to read this. I got this off of a prayer website, and I just thought it was really good. And it's worded it better than I would word it myself. So I'm going to use one of the verses that we've memorized. Here's my topical memory system. I just have 60 verses on here for right now, and I haven't been doing it all as regularly as I've said we're going to. But this is how I do it. I punch a hole in it, put a big ring on it, and each card is a different verse, and I have them in order. But our second one that we memorized, hopefully several months ago, was Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified. Does anybody remember it? I have been crucified with Christ. Right? And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I want to use Galatians 2:20 as an example as we go through these, is it four? A through D. Listen to this. I'll read what they write, then we're going to kind of pray the verse back to the Lord. But it says, choose a verse that resonates with you. It could be a verse that speaks to your current situation or one that is a personal favorite. You know, you don't do the same verse every day, but pick some verses. Meditate on the verse first for a few minutes, and find out what God is saying to you through the verse and how it applies to your life. As you reflect on the verse, ask God to help you to understand it fully and to apply it to your life in a way that will be pleasing to him. As you meditate on the scripture, pray it back to God. You will be amazed at how he speaks to you through his word and how it transforms your life. Galatians 2:20 would just say something like, God, your word tells me I'm crucified with you, and it's not me who's living, but you're living through me. And God, I pray that people would see you in me, not me, but they would see you through me. And God, I just thank you for the sacrifice you made that Jesus Christ came and he gave himself for me. And God, thank you so much for that power. And I pray that others would see it. That's an example of how you could pray that. The second one says, read or say the verse back to God. I have them up here, but I didn't put them up. Choose a scripture important to you. B, read or say the verse back to God and tell him how this verse applies to your situation. Let me read what they have down. Read the verse back to God. It's a good way to begin your prayer time, especially if you are feeling lost or confused. Tell God about what you are struggling with and ask him to help you through it. Be honest and open with him and let him know what you need. As you pray, declare the truth of the scripture over your life. Remind God of his promises and thank him for his faithfulness towards you. When praying scripture back to God, it's important to remember that it's not about doing it right. Just start praying and let God work in your life. It doesn't matter how you do it. I'm just giving you an example. So don't say, well, I didn't do it the way Pastor Ron said or this is the way other people do it. Just do it. Just start praying. And again, just using that to God, I can't believe it that you died for me. I can't believe that I am crucified with you. I can't believe, Lord, that you're living in me. And my life is really wrapped up in yours. God, thank you so much for that. Teach me really, Lord, what that means. Help me to live it out. So that's how you read the verse back to God. Letter C, you can also rephrase the verse using your own words. This can be a helpful way to help to really personalize the scripture and make it your own. For example, this is what this guy said. There's often a verse that I like to pray. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. He says, I thank God for your comfort. Lord, thank you for your promise of peace. Thank you for your promise to bless me. And Lord, you invite me into your presence. Pray that back to God. That's using scripture. And again, remind you, this isn't in these notes, but God is obligated to his word. When we pray it back to him, he can't say, well, I've never heard that before. He's going to say, that's my word. I'm going to honor it. And then letter D, talk to God about what the verse means to you. Share your thoughts and feelings with him. Thank him for the truths in the scripture and ask him to help you apply them to your life. Listen to what he closes with. He says, when you pray scripture back to God, you are opening yourself up to his guidance and wisdom. You are allowing him to speak directly to your heart and mind. And this is a beautiful way of growing closer to him. Be open to what he has for you and let him show you how powerful his word can be in your life. Scripture prayer is a powerful way to communicate with our Heavenly Father. It's also a great way to get to know him better and grow in our own personal relationship with him. You can just tell God, when I read Galatians 2:20, Lord, it's telling me that I'm crucified with you. And that means I've surrendered. I have no power of my own. God, that's empty me of me. And that reminds me of John 3:30, where John said, I must decrease and he must increase. Just pray that. If God brings another verse to you and say, God, let my life decrease, but may yours be increased in everything I do and say. That's how you pray scripture. And I want to tell you, I want to challenge you to start doing that. You don't have to do it every time you pray, but maybe do it once or twice a week to get started. But pick a verse, pick a couple of verses out, and pray them back to God using this formula or this thing. Number three, prayer requires perseverance. Prayer is not for the lazy. Prayer is hard work. It's not for a complaining person who just says, oh, I never get what I want. God never answers my prayer anyway. It takes dedication. It takes hard work. It takes dependence on God. And we know, but we often forget that prayer really is entering the throne room of the God of creation, the Savior, the very presence of God. We're coming before the commander of our army. We're talking about this military use of the armor, the spiritual warfare. We're coming before our commander in chief. And he's a good one. He's a good commander in chief, okay? But we love meeting with him. But I want you to think about this, and I have it in your notes. How many times did Jesus pray in the garden alone? Do you remember? Three times. Jesus prayed three times, and he kept going back at it. First time he came and he found the disciples sleeping. He came back and he asked him again. He found them sleeping again. It came the third time. If Jesus had to pray three times on that specific instance, what makes us feel that we can pray any less? Peter reminds us, be watchful or stay alert. Throughout Scripture, we see our heroes of the faith, how they prayed. I've heard of people praying for years. My mother-in-law is here, and her mother prayed, I don't know how, 40, 50 years for her husband to come to know Christ. I don't know that he ever did. We were married when he passed away, but I don't know that Mom's dad or Cheryl's grandmother ever came to Christ, but he had a faithful wife who was praying for him. You look in Jeremiah. We just got done reading through that. If you're reading through the Bible in our year program, we read through Jeremiah last month, I think. And Jeremiah was constantly preaching the word of God. God was saying, this is what I want. This is my message from you to the people. Go share it. And he kept telling, don't be afraid of what they're going to do to you. But Jeremiah wasn't afraid, but he still ended up in stocks. He still ended up kind of imprisoned in a sense. Think about Daniel, how much he prayed and how he obeyed the Lord, and yet he was still thrown in a lion's den. He had no idea when they were either getting ready to throw him in or lowering him in. I don't know how they put him in a lion's den. But the whole way down, I'm thinking, he had to be thinking, God, I was obedient to you. What are you doing here? I'm back in a lion's den after all this faithful service. Prayer requires perseverance. We might not see an answer to prayer today. We might not see it even in our lifetime. But God challenges us to persevere, to keep at it, to be watchful, to stay alert. It's work. And then I have down is Paul's prayer requests, just as we close this out. And these are a couple ways that I've challenged our people to pray over the years is using the word acts. adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Adoration is just praising God. Confession is what it sounds like, confessing to the Lord. Then giving God thanks for certain things. And then supplication is interceding in prayer. Now, I like Acts because we can remember that. But I like the word cats. I just don't like cats. I don't want to give them anything spiritual here. But think of, instead of Acts, think of cats. Start with confession. That's what I always do. And if you're like me, you have a lot to confess. And the Bible says if we hold regard sin in our heart, he's not going to hear us. So I always begin prayer by saying, God, you know how I am. Forgive me. Lord, I forgive me for this. Forgive me for this attitude I've had or whatever it is. But come before the Lord first with confession and then move into praise and thanksgiving and supplication. But Paul asked us to pray for a couple of different things. He says, first off, pray for all the saints. And I have up here, nothing will bring greater unity to our church than when we pray together with the saints. The early church didn't have success because Paul was their pastor, because Paul was their leader. But if you read through the book of Acts, you'll see it's because they came together to pray. They were praying corporately. I'm sure that they were praying in their homes individually. But they got back together each week and prayed. Those who say, you probably heard it said, we just need to get back to a simpler time when revival was everywhere. A simpler time will not change our culture, will not change our economics, will not change our nation. Only prayer will do that. That's the only thing God's promised to answer. That's why I beg you to come to prayer meeting. And again, I shouldn't have to do that. You should long to be here to pray together. That should make your week. I tell you, when I come together on Wednesday nights, it is hard work. Sometimes it's kind of like getting over here. I've been busy today. I'm not sure I want to give up another 45 minutes. But when I get home, it's kind of like, thank you, Lord. And when I do it on Thursday mornings, I prayed last week. No one showed up on Thursday morning. No one showed up at the teen center. And I was getting ready to leave, and I remember somebody had written to me from Delaware, my home church down in Delaware. A lady used to be my Sunday school teacher, leads a Bible study. She's in her 80s. And she wrote to me, said, Ron, I just want you to know. She said, my Bible study on Wednesday, we had, I think, two or three ladies from Pennsylvania across the line. Wilmington, Delaware is just across the Pennsylvania line. And she said, two or three ladies from Pennsylvania came, and they said they were so thrilled that you're meeting on a Thursday. She said, they're going to start praying in their church with a group every Thursday from 12:15 to 1. And I stayed there by myself praying because I realized there are other people praying with me right now. But pray for the saints. Pray for one another. If you come out on a Wednesday night, you're going to see your name on our PowerPoint. We have, six or seven pages of people. And it's just simple requests like bless their family. For Larry, I have down bless his N.A. and his ministry there. Pray for families, for grandchildren. Praying for Evelyn's recovery from her surgery is still on there. So everyone in our churches, wherever you sit, Russell say, okay, I walk through and I know this person's going to be sitting here, this person will be sitting here, and I pray for him. I do the same thing, so I know where you sit. So when my wife sits over here instead of over here, it kind of throws me off for a minute. But we know where people sit. But if you come, you're going to see your name list up there. That's praying for the saints. That's what we're doing. And then Paul also says, pray for my ministry. Paul says, pray that I have the strength to share the gospel. Basically, what I challenge you to do is to represent and reflect Christ well. Why is prayer so important? It's essential because we are at war. Spiritual war. Satan hates us. Satan hates you. Satan hates our Savior. Satan hates everything about the Christian walk, the Christian life, and he wants to see you destroyed. And the only way that we can battle that is coming together in prayer. Individual prayer is important. Your own quiet time is essential. But prayer together is needed. It's necessary, and that's what Paul's encouraging us to do. I'm going to ask our deacons to meet me in the front, but let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray as we come to the communion table now that we would reflect on your goodness. We would reflect on your love for us, your mercy, and your grace. And I pray, Lord, as we come to this, we remember what you've done for us, but Lord, also look ahead to your return. Bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to say something before my wife says anything at the end. I know this is communion, but I washed off all the plates and things, but I didn't dry them. So there's going to be big wet spots, water spots on them. So don't blame anybody but me, okay? So they don't look like a woman took care of them, because a woman didn't. I did it, washed it, and let it dry. So so forgive me for that. But I'm going to ask Billy if he'd ask the Lord's blessing on the bread.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence, that we stand in your presence. Father, you stand with us. We thank you for the life that you've given, Christ, who died. Everything was taken, was perfect and holy. He stands before you and intercedes for us. We thank you for such a blessing. We thank you for such a life. We thank you for such a leader, such a God. Mm-hmm. For there's only one, and it's you, Father, and we reverence you with everything within us. In Jesus' name.
Even on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night before he died, says he gave thanks. He prayed. Jesus spent time talking to his Father. In the most crucial moment of his life, he knew he needed to have that fellowship and time with his Father. Let's take this together as we look back. I'm going to ask the men to stand. Ron, would you ask a blessing on the cup?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for what your Son Jesus did on the cross, the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. We just thank you, Lord, for the promise that all we have to do is believe to have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bible says without the shedding of blood, without the pouring out of blood, there's no forgiveness of our sins. And you think back of all the Old Testament sacrifices. I've been reading through that over the last few months as well, and just thinking, I would have hated to be a priest. I don't mind blood and guts. You hunters would have loved that. But think of all the animals that died, and they couldn't pay a perfect sacrifice until Christ came, and his blood paid that perfect ultimate sacrifice for us. So let's take this together. We're going to stand for a word of prayer in just a moment, and then we're going to be dismissed to go up just for a quick time of fellowship. There's coffee, and you can make some hot chocolate. We're going to be about 10 minutes, and then we're going to come back down, and we're going to have Sunday school. And Sunday school this morning is going to be a video on the real meaning of Thanksgiving. It's only about 30 minutes, maybe a little bit less, but I think you'll enjoy it. So it's going to be talking again about this time of year. It was done, I think, 8 years ago. Just before the 2014 election, and he was just talking about how our country, very applicable to where we are today anyway. So come back for that, and then we'll have our potluck following that. So let's stand together and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your son. Thank you for his death on the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom we have to meet like this in this land. Thank you for what Thanksgiving is. Thank you, Lord, for the holiday season and the joy. But, Lord, we realize there's a lot of lost people who just get caught up in the gift. Lord, we thank you for the greatest gift, and that's your son. But we thank you that we can come to you through prayer in his name. Bless our time together and the rest of our day. In Jesus' name, amen.